and look at 1 John and the first 7 verses, please. I'm going to read them through. Now, I'm not going to hurry. I'm going to take my time because this is very important. 1 John chapter 1, first 7 verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Here is John speaking of his obviously being with Jesus. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which is with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We just pray for a moment, please. Lord, we're so dependent upon you and your Holy Spirit to teach us the truth of your word about yourself and the Father, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us, creating fellowship with you and indeed with one another. So we seek your blessing upon us this evening, and those who are viewing by Zoom, and our fellowship here as well, because we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice here that our fellowship of believer, that is with the Father and also the Son. Let's consider that. God the Father has indeed granted to us freely by grace, salvation, and fellowship with him. Consider that. A relationship with God the Father, your heavenly Father. Jesus spoke much about God being the Father who provides for us, cares for us, watches over us, and tends to us as a Father, an ideal Father. So we would have fellowship with him through the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. So we can have fellowship with the Father. Also, think of God the Son. We have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son, as we know. And he has gained salvation for us and our fellowship with him through the work of the cross. Thirdly, God the Holy Spirit has guaranteed that salvation. The Father has granted us salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ has gained our salvation. And the Holy Spirit has guaranteed our salvation, Ephesians chapter 1. And therefore we can have fellowship with the Father and the Son. I'll come to the work of the Holy Spirit a little later on. So it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ, central here, that we may have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and through the operation of the Holy Spirit, remembering that too. Now consider, let's have a look at verse 3, as you have it here. Here, John, the apostle, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, obviously witness to his own walk with the Lord Jesus in his humanity. And John brings us, in fact, to know one of the most, what we say, one of the main purposes of this particular letter. And that is that we should know him. Now that word know is mentioned 17 times in this first letter. So we may know him, and by that personal intimacy, by faith, because of the new birth, because we have spiritual life, because we have assurance of that life, which will never end into eternity. So we find here that we have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and fellowship together in that like-mindedness and experience. Truly our fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, and John witness to that joy. And because he says in verse 4, I write these things to you that your joy may be full. What a wonderful assurance, what a wonderful experience that human beings can have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to make it real with him, and of course resulting fellowship with each other. And so in one sense, the experience of that gives us joy. And Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not like the world gives, but my peace. That's all linked together, peace and joy, peace and joy. Often the Apostle Paul began his letters with the idea of grace, mercy, and peace. As we know, he did do that in introducing them. And we're to encourage one another, encourage the saints. That's what John wanted to do, to encourage the saints in these wonderful truths. Fellowship with God the Father, wonderful. And with the Son, the Creator. Well, they created all together, didn't they? That's really remarkable. And I write these things, said John, verse 4, that your joy may be full, not half full, full. Running over, affecting others too. So to have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son means that there must be that harmonious relationship with the Father and with the Son. And because we're born again, born of the Holy Spirit, these things are possible. And so we're walking, in a sense, in truth. Now, John wrote that later on in the other letters. To walk in truth, to walk in the life, walk in light, and walk in love. Then fellowship is very strong. That's very important too. So the key words in this particular chapter, those first few verses we read, are verse 3, fellowship with the Father, with the Son. And then if you look down a little further to verse 6, we have fellowship with Him, but it can't be so if we walk in any form of darkness. Now it's writing to believers here. If we say we have fellowship with Him and say we walk in the light, but really we're in the dark, which is possible, I suppose. We can walk a distance from Him at times. Then He said, well, it's a lie, isn't it? But if we walk in the light, walk in the truth, walk in the life, walk in the love of the Lord, walk in truth, then He said, we have fellowship. We have fellowship. Walking in light, walking in love, walking in truth, walking in the light. Then we can have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with each other. So that's quite plain and very clear. We find in verse 5 that God is light. Of course we know that He is. We should walk in that light. And in one sense, when we look at the whole of the Word of God, the Word of God is like a beacon of light shining upon our lives. Thy Word is truth, said Jesus, and that truth gives us light. So this is quite a challenge here. Walk in the light, walk in truth, and this is through in the other letter. Do you like to have a look at those references? It might be useful if you could do that. It's in the letters of John anyway. And if you like, consider, well, you've got walk in the light here. We've got that in that verse 5. Walk in, God is light. We know that's true. So we're to walk in that light. Go over to 2 John for a moment, would you? 2 John, and go to chapter 1. And look at those first four verses. 2 John, only one chapter, verses 1 to 4. He writes to the elder and to the elect lady. And he says, I write this to you. I love you in truth, he says, and you know the truth. And because of the truth which abides in you and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace. There it is, even in his letter, not just Paul. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Oh, what a verse that is. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father, fellowship, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in fellowship, and in truth and in love. I rejoice greatly, there it is in the second letter as well, that I found some of your children walking in truth. What a testimony. As we receive command from the Father. Wonderful, isn't it? That's quite something. Now go to the third letter of John, just one chapter, and look at verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4 in the third John. For I rejoiced greatly, there's the word again, when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship with each other, walking in the light, truth, love. This is what it says. Walk in the truth, walk in the light, walk in life. And with all that truth, we can have that open, welcome, warm fellowship with God the Father, with God the Son, and of course the minister of the Holy Spirit to make it real to us. And you know, in a sense, this can depend upon our love for one another. If we don't love one another, and our fellowship with one another warmly, openly, trusting each other, how can we say that we are walking with the Father, with the Son? No, we're to walk in truth, in light, in life, and fellowship one with the other. And if that is not the case, then I think we might ask the question, how good and well is your walk with the Father, and fellowship with the Father and the Son? So that's important. And John says repeatedly, oh, I rejoice. that you're walking well in the Lord, you have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and you can have warm, open togetherness and fellowship with each other. He said, that's so important, very important. I'll come in a bit more to one detail on that in a moment. And it says that your joy.
So,
no, it's impossible. You can't. You can't walk in the darkness, you see. That's a lie. Yeah, thank you. That's well worth it, Cappy. You can't walk in error. That's true enough. So we may have true fellowship, open fellowship, welcome fellowship with the Father and the Son. Now, I can't emphasize that too much. And it may well depend upon our fellowship and love for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Departing from any form of darkness and walking in the light of the Word of God. Thy Word is truth, and it is light to our souls as well, as a minister of the Holy Spirit, but later on. So, obviously, this fellowship, this walk with the Lord, we're called to walk with Him. That means walk in harmony. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they are agreed? How can two walk together except they are agreed? Amos 3:3. It's important. That's union. That's unity. That's harmony. That's fellowship in harmony. That's so important. So walking in that same framework, love for the Lord, obedience as well, that's all coming into it as well. And then, as we walk with the Father, fellowship with the Father, it's a spiritual issue because the Holy Spirit has to be the one to make it real to us because we can't see Him and we rely upon the Word and our obedient fellowship, light and life by faith. Of course, we know that's true. In the light of all that, that makes it easy. When we're walking with the Lord, it makes it easy for us to have fellowship with each other. Of course, the contrary is also true. A person who feels he doesn't have so much fellowship with each other in the body of Christ, you just wonder how well they're walking with the Father and with the Son, and fellowship with them. That's something to consider as well. So it's very practical, and it very much deals with the purity of life. As light is very pure. It's white. Light is white, when you think about it. And we're called to be holy. That's all part of this. Be holy, for I'm holy, says the Lord. That's likeness, and that's how we should be. So this is very practical. And in that walk with the Father and the Son, and our fellowship with them, keeps us on the walk of holiness and purity. Can't emphasize that too much. It keeps us walking in truth, in life, in light, in the light, of course, of His Word as well. That means we can then have easy fellowship with one another. And we know the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ... Go back to 1 John with me. One verse we didn't read. Go back to 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, verse 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pure, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. As we walk with the Lord, faithful. He is faithful. That's certainly true. I want to go back, if you will, to Peter's letter. First one, first of all, 1 Peter chapter 2. We've been much blessed by the ministry of Dr. Wayne Edwards on 1 Peter. But 1 Peter, look at chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. This is our responsibility. Human on the horizontal, and it's vertical on the as far as God is concerned. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, have reverence for Him, honor Him, and honor the King. Love the brotherhood, harmony, fellowship with each other, fear God, have true reverence of God, they go together, and honor the King. Obey the government unless it's said to do things contradicting the Lord. And if you go to 2 Peter, there's one verse in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. He speaks about all the divine power given to us in verse 3, so that those things pertain to life and godliness. Verse 4, by which those precious truths and His divine power, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. I'll speak more about partakers and partners in a while. Partakers of the divine nature. So in a sense you become the sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. We're not equal, we're not gods, but we are sons and daughters. That's relationship.
That's fellowship.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we have exceedingly great and precious promises in his word. And because of his divine power to bring us salvation, pertaining to life and godliness in verse 3, and then we see we are partakers his divine nature.
That's wonderful, isn't it? Like father, like son. Like father, like daughter.
We have divine nature implanted in us, new birth, Holy Spirit's work. We're spiritually alive to God and to one another as well. So that's important indeed. It is. So, I want you to notice, of course, here now, we haven't talked much about the Holy Spirit. We've got part of the Trinity, triunity of the deity in the Godhead. So would you go back to 2 Corinthians, very important this, 2 Corinthians and chapter 13, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. Here we have the mention of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. It's like a benediction, that's what we call it, isn't it? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, that's the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Communion of the Holy Spirit. It does not say communion with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference here. We have fellowship with the Father, we have fellowship with the Son, but we have the communion or the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will take things of mine and reveal them to you. That's his ministry. He's a comforter. He's the interpreter of Scripture. Bring us into the light of the truth. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The communion, if you like, of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Not with the Holy Spirit. Do you notice that's important? It says of, not with. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is the one to reveal me. And of course he's the intercessor, like the Lord Jesus, and he's our comforter, gives us strength as well. But we are not called even to minister, we're not called to pray or to talk to the Holy Spirit. It says we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help us to talk with the Father and with the Son. But we don't talk and pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Lord Jesus or we pray to the Father. You don't find anywhere in Scripture we pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. Not the same thing. That's with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit on our lives. One might call him the divine executive on the earth, carrying out the Father's will, the Son's will in our lives and on the earth. The divine executive. That's what I would call him on this earth. You see, it doesn't refer to our fellowship with him. He has been appointed to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to us, throw light on the Scriptures, give us understanding. Jesus said he would teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now if you go on a bit further on, beyond Galatians and Ephesians, to Philippians please. Philippians and chapter 2. This is important. Philippians chapter 2. And I read the first four verses. And here we find the word fellowship of the Spirit in verse 1. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, of any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, not with, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, unity and harmony. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each one of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's fellowship. Caring for others, looking out to help others, not minding their business, but being just alongside to help where needed. That's certainly true. And these few verses relate to the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The fellowship of the Spirit. He gives us joy. Well, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you know them. Love, joy, peace, and so on. The Holy Spirit reproduces the very fruit of the very character of Jesus in us. It's a lifetime's work and beyond. That's certainly true. It relates to the operational work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's the divine executive working out the purposes of the Father and the Son. That's clear enough. Now, we read in Peter there,
to we are called partakers, and we can also use the word partners. Partners work together in fellowship and harmony. It's not a tug of war. So to be a partaker of that divine nature, which we read in 2 Peter 1, means sharing in the life and the love of God for us, one another. Sharing in the life of God. Jesus is the head of the church, and he fellowship. He's the head, we're the body. And every part of the body, be they fingers, toes, ears, foot, nose, whatever, each one functions in fellowship together. The function of the fellowship is possible by the Holy Spirit. We come to more of that later if we can tonight. So to be a partaker of that divine nature is sharing in the life and the love of God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit as he reproduces the nature of the Son in us. So you have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. So we can have fellowship with the Father and the Son, enjoy the ministry, revealing so much of Father and Son to us. But to be a partner, think about partner. Remember that some of the disciples of Jesus were partners in their fishing? Well, they wouldn't work together. They worked together for their employment and their welfare. They worked together. They pulled together. They pulled their nets together. They mended the nets together. They went fishing together. So to be a partner with each other means having fellowship with each other. We're partners. Like being part of the body, the eye, the ear, the nose, the foot, big toe, whatever. The body has to function. If you've got a twisted ankle, the rest of the body has to carry it. So each one has a function within the fellowship of the local body of Christ. Function and fellowship. Working. That's important. So, as I say, some of these original disciples of the Lord Jesus, including John, of course, they were partners in the fishing industry, if you like it, on Galilee. And something I want to underline this. Show me a believer who walks with the Lord, and I will show you a person that is easy to have fellowship with. Show me a believer who walks with the Lord, and I will show you a person that is easy to have fellowship with. I remember living in Southport for a number of years, and we used to go down to the local big park on a Sunday afternoon at what they call the Preacher's Stones. And we would witness there and meet with people and share conversation and tracts as well. And I met one lady who came from Bootle, which is in North Liverpool. And she said, well, I'm a believer. Yes, I'm a believer, yes. I said, well, where do you have fellowship? He says, I don't. That's a contradiction in terms. If you are truly a believer, you want fellowship with the Lord's people. You want to have more knowledge of the Word of God. You want to live out the fellowship and be a partner with others and be a partaker of the divine nature. It didn't make sense. So I just wonder where she really did stand. Our human fellowship with one another in the local body of Christ and further afield, that arises spontaneously from the divine fellowship, being partakers of that divine nature. Human fellowship automatically comes from our divine fellowship with the Father. It makes it easier for us to have fellowship with one another. And you know, if I really don't want to be critical, but it's purely an observation, really. Human fellowship, bonded together, like-minded believers, love one another, looking out one another, like Philippians chapter 2 says. But that is a rebuke to much of modern church life, I would say. It is a rebuke to modern church life. Do we love one another with the love of Christ? It's sacrificial. Church life must not be superficial. That's make-believe. That's imitation. It must be a maturing spiritual fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with each other. That brings us into maturity, without a doubt. It's also, of course, the ministry and the operation of the Holy Spirit. We can't do without Him, naturally not. So that's a truth of great importance, I feel, today. There's much that is compromised today. There's much that is lukewarm today, which is rather sad. Certainly is. Is it true that Christians love one another? And I mean love one another. I know we can't match the love that Jesus has for us. We know that. We know our weaknesses. But Christ commanded to love the Lord. I know the commandments say, love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. They can't do it without the Holy Spirit, of course. But we can come towards that truth. And really, human love breaks down here because human love is selfish. It's carnal. In 1 Timothy 1, you needn't turn to it, I'll read it, unless you wish to. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says this. I'll read it slowly and repeat it. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart from a good conscience and from a sincere faith, from which some have strayed, wrote Paul to Timothy, having turned aside to idle talk. I'm going to repeat that slowly, it's so important. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 5 and 6. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some have strayed, having turned aside to idle talk. Now we're in 1 John, weren't we? I'm just turning onto that again in 1 John. I'm reminded there of that one particular verse 3, in 1 John 1, verse 3. That which you have seen and heard, John turned to test me, says, you may have fellowship with us. He said, well, because we walk with Jesus, we saw him in the flesh. We don't do that, of course. But we have fellowship with him because the Apostle John loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one disciple that is marked out as having loved Jesus. And so you can have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we have real joy. And the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, and he was in prison, but the whole letter is full of joy, even though he was in prison. Martyrdom might have been not far off. And in Philippians 1, 3 and 5, I'll read this again if I may, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 5, 3 to 5. If you want to turn to it, you can, I can wait. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. How Paul longed for the fellowship of these Christians once again, but he was in prison. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. For you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, and he missed them in prison. He says, I thank my God, I remember you, and I pray for you regularly, with joy. And I remember your fellowship in the gospel with me when I was with you. That's very precious to Paul. He was in prison, he was thinking about this, he remembered it. The joy of fellowship, so strengthening. And Paul remembered it, and it encouraged and strengthened him. Fellowship is strengthening. It's like the bond of a chain. If there's one link that is weak, the chain is weak. If every link is strong, the chain is strong. So we are partakers of the divine nature, and we are partners together, partners with the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, you're my friends if you do what I tell you. That's being a partner, if you're right. And we know that the gospel, of course, produces eternal life. We know that. And salvation, well, that, of course, must include fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and fellowship with each other. It's all part of our salvation experience, a changed life, a new life, spiritual life. Reconciliation, that's another word in the Bible. Reconciliation, being brought together, brought to know God the Father, brought to know the Son. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit working in our lives to make that possible. Reconciled to the Father, reconciled to the Son through the Son, by his death and resurrection, of course we know that. And we know that benediction we referred to just now in 2 Corinthians 13, the communion of the Holy Spirit, the intercessory ministry, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit working in our lives of him, not with him, our fellowship with the Father and the Son, but his operating work in our lives. That's so important. And in Philippians 2, we read, if there's any consolation, any comfort, of any fellowship of the Spirit, be like-minded. Well, that's harmony, and that's fellowship. So we're partakers. We have fellowship in sharing in the life and love of God. We're partners, sharing in the life and the love of the body of Christ. Partners together with him, of course. That's very true. Now, Paul was often referring, he made a list at the end of some of his letters, and the number of people that he remembered well. And he was in prison. They say, Ephesian letter, Philippian letter, he was in prison. And remember some of the homes. Remember, before the church at Philippi was formed, he met Lydia, the hospitality in Lydia's home. There was also the fact of the tremendous experience and salvation of the Philippian jailer. And Paul and Silas were beaten in the lowest dungeon of all. And in the Philippian jailer's home, they were saved, and his family, they were able to nourish Paul and help his wounds. And that was so important. So we're partakers, we're one body. Have this mind that is in Christ Jesus, one with him, in harmony and unity. You are the body of Christ, locally here, wider field,
body of Christ and members individually, but in unity. So important. We're called to be the household of God. We're called to be a habitation of God in the Spirit. We have the opportunity, let's do good to all. Remember, we are partakers and partners. We have fellowship with the Lord. I'm going to stop there for now. And maybe we'll continue next week.